Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today is my beginning of my third week teaching from a brand new book that I have out entitled Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword. And what this is actually a compilation of 16 of the books that I've written. Each chapter, there are 16 chapters in this book, and each chapter is a brief summary of the entire book that I have other books that cover that subject. Now, the reason I think that this is really going to be good is because it just gives an overview of some of the most important foundational truths in the Christian life. You know, some of you remember from our healing journeys that we played the testimony of Hannah Terades, the little girl in England who had the feeding tube in her stomach. She was 3.5 years old and only the size of a 9-month-old, and she was basically sent home to die. And anyway, she was miraculously healed. But the thing that started this entire healing process was that Hannah's parents, Ashley and Carly, got hold of a CD that I had made 20 years ago. And this CD, I remember the night that I taught this CD, it was, you know, I don't know how to express it to you, but I can still remember exactly where I was. I can still remember teaching that because normally I just teach things line upon line. I go through a series. I'll hold a 3-day, 5-day meeting or whatever, and I'll teach everything in sequence. And I kind of slow down and teach everything in detail, trying to make maximum impact on the people that I'm ministering to. But I remember that teaching because it was just, it was different. It's like I shared everything I knew, everything that God had shown me in one tape. And I remember it. It was really abnormal for me, but I just felt impressed to do it. And I mean, it was just like information overload. The people were sitting there just, it was like a tidal wave hit them. I was giving more information than anybody could completely absorb. And it was completely out of character for me, but I just felt impressed to do it. And anyway, when Ashley got that tape, he has told me a number of times that is exactly what he needed because he didn't have 2 years, 5 years, or whatever to learn these truths and sit down and just digest them slowly. He needed an overview of everything, and it had such a profound impact on him that then he started going to the website and downloading teachings and filling in the blanks. But he said that was exactly what he needed. You know, in a sense, that's exactly what this book is. This book is not the detailed teaching on any of these subjects, but it's a brief summary. It's like the cliff notes to these teachings. And I tell you, I believe that it is going to have a profound effect on people, especially when you go through the study guide. If you were using it, you could go through all 16 of these subjects. And then if you're teaching a Bible study group or however it is that you use this discipleship material, you know, people could go through and the things that catch their attention, you could choose to go back and then study the individual book. But it would be a great way of exposing people to just all of these different subjects, and then they could see which ones were the, you know, the group was excited about, the ones, the first one that they wanted to study or whatever. And it would be a tremendous way of just exposing these truths to a lot of people. So anyway, I'm really excited about this book. This is my third week now to begin teaching on this, and I think it is really going to be a blessing to you. So I encourage you to please call or write and get these materials. Also today, I want to continue talking about the believer's authority. I did this last Friday, but I want to continue this today. And I've already laid a foundation about how that God gave us authority. We blame God for all kinds of things. And if we see a person die, we just say, well, it must have been their number was up, it was their time or whatever. And we just assume that God sovereignly controls when a person dies a lot of things about us. We talk about fate and about how things just happen. And most people don't feel like that they are in the driver's seat, but instead they're in the back seat, and that they are just along for the ride, and that they really can't control very much in this life. If you understand things from the scriptural perspective, it's actually just the opposite. We have been given the authority. We are in the driver's seat. Now, the smart thing to do is to let God tell us where to turn and where to go, because His directions are infinitely better than ours. But you have total choice over your life. If a person kills themselves, that is not because God willed it and made it happen. If a person goes out and rapes another person, if a person steals, if a person is depressed, if a person is on and on you can go, it is not God that caused those things. And yet many people see just blame God for everything, but God gave us authority, and we are the ones that are allowing all of this tragedy. You know what I want to do today, and this is a big assignment, to share with you what I'm going to talk about in just a brief 30-minute segment. I've already used a portion of that to introduce all of this. But what I want to say today is about where Satan got his authority from. You know, God is ultimately the source of all authority because He started everything. He's the one that created the heavens and the earth, and nobody could have any power or any authority at all without God. God is the top of the food chain. Everything starts from Him. And we see, let's just turn over to the book of Genesis. And when God created Adam and Eve, it says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Now, this is really important. Sometimes we read through these words and don't think about it, but when He said, "Let them have dominion," He was giving mankind authority, control, responsibility over all of the earth, over every living thing that moved upon the earth. It even says over every creeping thing. Amen. That's the devil. He is a creep. And it says, "The Lord God created man in His own image, in the image of God created He him, male and female created He them, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." So when God created the heavens and the earth, He spoke the worlds into existence. He spoke light into existence. He spoke all of the animals into existence. He spoke the earth, all of the trees, all of the grass, and He spoke us into existence. God releases His power by words. And then He spoke to man and told us to have dominion. So that put man as the ruler of the earth. Matter of fact, in Psalms chapter 82, verse 6, Jesus referred to this in the New Testament. He quoted this verse and He says, "Has not the Word said or God said that you are all gods?" That was a quotation from Psalms 82, 6. This doesn't mean that man was a god with a capital G, that we were divine, that somehow or another we were, not human. It's just talking about that He gave mankind absolute, complete, total dominance over the earth. And by God saying that, Psalms chapter 89, verse 34, I think I used this verse last Friday, but He says, "My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone forth out of my lips." When God says something, it's a covenant. It's a contract. He cannot lie. And so God gave authority to man. And by doing that, then God would have been unjust. He would have broken His own word, which He cannot do. He cannot lie. He would have broken His own word if He would have come down here and says, "I don't like the way you're running things. I think I'm taking this back." See, that's not what He said. He didn't put any qualifications on this. He made mankind the absolute, unqualified authority. Even at Psalms 82, 6 says that He made us like a god over this earth, a absolute ruler and controller. Now, here's the point that I'm getting at, that we originally had the authority over this earth. And let me just say some things. Because of time, I'm not going to be able to turn to all of these verses and verify this. Again, I encourage you to please get the book, get the entire teaching on the believer's authority or whatever. But I believe that God did not send Satan down here to this earth, a fallen being, a vicious fallen being, that in the New Covenant it reveals that the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. In 1 Peter chapter 5, that he is going about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. God did not put our enemy, the devil, in the Garden of Eden as this vicious roaring lion and then turn his innocent children loose into that environment to see if they could withstand the wiles of the devil. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but this is important that you grasp this. I'm aware that there are people that teach that Satan had an entire culture, that Satan and other demons populated the earth, and that Satan was a ruler over a kingdom before the creation account in Genesis chapter 1. And I'm aware of this. People say that there's a gap in between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. And during that gap, Satan was an angel that ruled over this, and then he fell. And then all of the people that it were under his control are now where the demons came from. And they read all of this stuff into between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. And they talk about that the earth was without form and void. God never created anything that way. And so there was a previous pre-Adamic civilization that Satan ruled over, and when God judged them, he made the earth void, and that Genesis 1 is actually talking about a recreation. One of the reasons that people like that is because it apparently harmonizes the Bible with the ancient dating of the earth that scientists today are talking about. And anyway, I'm just not going to go into all of that, but that's where a lot of people believe that all of this happened, and that Satan was this fallen, vicious animal that 1 Peter says is like a roaring lion, and God put this vicious, demonic power in the Garden of Eden to give mankind a choice between right and wrong. And you know, here just think of this. What would you think of me if I turned my children, innocent children, that weren't seasoned yet, that didn't know what was going on? What would you think that if I put them out in the backyard and there was an angry lion that was there trying to devour them and kill them? You know, if somebody could prove that I just sent my children out knowing that this vicious lion was there and possibly going to kill them, and if people could prove that I did that knowing this and just thought that, you know, that they ought to be able to withstand it, I guarantee you they'd accuse me of child abuse. They'd take my children away. That is not being a good parent. I don't believe that God the Father turned Adam and Eve loose into the garden with this vicious demonic power around. And there are many of you think, well, then how did it happen? And again, I wished I had time. This is what the book is about, amen. I'm just giving you a real brief overview. But I actually believe that when Satan was in the garden, actually, I don't believe he was Satan. I believe he was Lucifer. You can read about this in Isaiah chapter 14 and also Ezekiel chapter 28. And in Isaiah 14, it calls him the son of the morning, Lucifer. And God did not create a fallen being. God did not create the devil as such. He created Lucifer, who is an angelic being, and according to Ezekiel chapter 28, he was actually a worship leader, is what it appears like. He had these worship instruments actually built into his body, and he was this powerful angel. And it describes him in Ezekiel 28 as being in the Garden of Eden, and as it describes him, you can turn over there and read about it. They'll have that reference on the screen. It describes him with all of these diamonds and beryl and onyx, and it was still in his sinless, perfect state. And if you compare this with Isaiah 14, which also talks about Lucifer, it talks about his fall. And so Lucifer fell. He rebelled at God and turned against God. And people just assume that this rebellion happened prior to the Garden of Eden. But again, I think that that would make God an irresponsible parent to put his children into a situation where this was this vicious, demonic power as a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. What I believe actually happened was that God sent Lucifer, still this created angel who had not fallen yet, and Lucifer was in the garden, as Ezekiel 28 describes, there to protect and minister to and bless Adam and Eve. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, it says that all of the angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who shall be heirs of salvation. Angels are assigned to minister to us. Lucifer was under Adam and Eve's dominion. And Lucifer, the only power that he had, I don't doubt that he had power, but it was a delegated power from God. If he would have tried to use any of his God-given power against Adam and Eve, it would have immediately ceased to function. Adam and Eve were given dominion over this earth, and Satan couldn't force them to do anything. That's the reason that in Genesis chapter 3, you find that Satan didn't enter into something like a lion and try and intimidate Adam and Eve. He didn't enter into an elephant that tried to overpower them and put his foot on their head and say, "Submit or I'll squash you." Instead, he entered into the most subtle animal, a serpent, and spoke through that serpent and deceived them because he had no power against them to force them to do anything. Adam and Eve were absolute rulers, in a sense, like a god. Psalms 82:6, like a god over this earth. So Satan couldn't force them to do anything. That's the reason he had to come and deceive them. And here's the reason I believe all of this is important, is because Satan didn't take some superior angelic power and use that to oppress mankind. Lucifer came and he had no power against Adam and Eve, so he submitted himself, he entered into a serpent and deceived Adam and Eve and got Adam and Eve to submit themselves to him, which empowered him. In a sense, here's a radical statement. And again, I know some of you will choke on this, but I encourage you to get the book and read it. This could really transform your thinking about everything. In a sense, God created Lucifer, this godly angelic being, but mankind created the devil, Satan, by giving him our power and authority, the authority that God gave us over this earth. Through deception, he came when Adam and Eve submitted unto him and obeyed him. Even though this verse wasn't written yet, it came to pass. In Romans chapter 6, verse 16, it says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." When Adam and Eve submitted to the lies of the devil, at that time it would have been the lies of Lucifer that was speaking through this serpent, when they submitted unto him, they took God's power and authority that had been given them to rule this earth, and they gave it to Lucifer. That is where his transgression took place. That's when he fell, and that's the power that he received, is the power that God gave mankind to rule this earth. Now, that has so many applications. For one thing, that shows that Satan's power isn't this superhuman, supernatural power that many people ascribe to him, but instead he has this power and authority that God gave mankind. And so that really knocks him down a number of notches, and really Satan is only using the authority that God gave us. And he can't just steamroll any person. He can't just overcome any person. Again, I go back to that verse in 1 Peter chapter 5. It says that he, as a roaring lion, goes about seeking whom he may devour. He cannot just devour everybody because it takes our cooperation to allow Satan to come into our life. Satan himself is still a spiritual being. He doesn't have a physical body, and authority was given to physical human beings. To exercise authority on this planet, according to the words that God speaks, you have to have a physical human body. Satan is a spirit. Demons are spirit beings. They cannot rule with some superior angelic power. No, they are using the human power and authority that was given to us, and all of us through sin have yielded to him and empowered Satan to a degree. But for him to work in our life, he has to have somebody with a physical human body cooperate with him. He cannot do anything to you without your consent and your cooperation. Boy, that is one powerful statement right there. And I'm just amazed at how many people think that Satan just is superior to them, when the truth is that even a slug, a gnat, anything with a physical body has more authority in this earth than the devil and demons. Satan has to have your cooperation. This is why that when Jesus cast those legion of demons out of this demon-possessed man, that the demons besought him that they could enter into the swine, because even a pig has more authority than the devil has. And Satan has to have something with a physical body. A slug, slime, an amoeba has more authority than the devil. Satan has to have our consent and cooperation to do anything against us. Now, he exists, and he is behind a lot of things, but his real power is deception. And I believe that looking at things this way and not attributing to Satan some superhuman power, instead recognizing that he got his authority and power from us, that in a sense we created Satan, I believe that that really just brings him down to a level to where we recognize that, praise God, we shouldn't let the devil beat us up and put these sickness and disease and oppression and depression, all these kind of things on us. It shows us our power and authority. And you know, this book that I've got entitled The Believer's Authority goes into a great detail, but this little book on the sharper than a two-edged sword will summarize this and go into some of these things, and it will be a real blessing to you. And I think that this is probably one of the most misunderstood things in the Christian realm today, is people are giving Satan way too much power and authority. These spiritual warfare conferences, even though I believe that there is a truth, that there is spiritual warfare and we are in a battle, it's a battle against the lies and the deception of the devil. It's not really against his true power and authority. He doesn't have any power and authority except what we give him. Boy, that's powerful. You know, the teaching that I have on the believer's authority, that book has been our most popular book. We've had more people write in and request that than any other teaching that I've ever put out. And a lot of it is because this is so misunderstood. This spiritual warfare has been actually giving Satan more credit than he's due. And I tell you, this will diffuse that. This is a powerful teaching. So I encourage you to listen to our announcer. He's going to announce about how you can get this book, also our brand new study guide that goes along with this. And I think that this book on Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword is going to be a tremendous blessing to you. So listen to our announcer, and then please call or write and request this book and the study guide today.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.
Andrew's newest book, titled Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword, is available for a gift of any amount. This book is unlike any other Andrew has ever written. Rather than one topic, it contains 16 of Andrew's most powerful teachings. Each is condensed into a single chapter, making this the most comprehensive collection of life-changing messages we've ever offered. Contact us today to get your copy. Or, if you prefer, you can order Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword on DVD as seen on TV. This series has over 7 hours of life-changing teaching. The entire DVD series is available for a gift of any amount. There's also a new Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword workbook available for a gift of $35 or more. The workbook works well in conjunction with the DVD series, offering the opportunity for deeper study of the biblical principles Andrew presents in his teaching. Or you can get all three of these products by ordering the Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword package. This package includes the brand new book, the As Seen on TV DVD series, and the workbook. The entire package has a catalog value of $79. But today, you can get the Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword package for a gift of just $69 or more. A single DVD containing the third week's broadcast of this series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third DVD free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in the Washington, D.C. area for a Gospel Truth seminar this week, April 14th through the 16th. In Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, for Pastor Bob Yandian's Ministers Conference, April 27th through the 29th, and in Atlanta, Georgia, for a Gospel Truth seminar, May 5th through the 7th. He'll also be at the Solid Rock Church of Atlanta, Sunday, May 8th, in the U.K. for the Grace and Faith Family Camp, May 27th through the 30th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado, for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference, July 4th through the 8th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I'd like to give you a special invitation to join me on July the 4th through the 8th for our Summer Family Bible Conference right here in Colorado Springs. And it goes through Monday night through Friday night, July the 4th through the 8th. We have children's ministry. We will have 3 hours worth of classes in our Caris Bible College in the mornings on Tuesday through Friday. And it's just going to be a great time for the entire family. It's a great time to be in Colorado in the summer. You'd love it. So it's going to be Monday through Friday, July the 4th through the 8th, the Summer Family Bible Conference right here in Colorado Springs.